Well, it was a great week at Vacation Bible School, and my favorite part of Vacation Bible School is when we did the songs, and Jerry Keener was busting a move, and he got down and started doing the worm across the front. It was amazing. It was really, really good. If you haven't come to Vacation Bible School or volunteered, you might want to next year just to see Jerry and his entourage leading worship in that way. We had a great time. And this week we're talking about, in our series on prayer, we're talking about this, a prayer for power, a prayer for power. And I don't know about you, but there's different times in my life, different seasons in my life where I felt like I needed more power to go on, or I feel like I didn't have enough energy to go on to navigate that season in life, you know, having a new child, and then you have a new season, and do you have the power to go on and parent that child? When you first get married, maybe you feel that way, you're euphoric, but after a few weeks, you realize, do I have the power to really pull this off? You know, going into college or coming out of college or getting a new job or heading into retirement, different seasons of life, you feel like, man, do I really have the power to pull this off? And the good news is that God gives us at different times in our life, if we depend on Him, the power to be able to merge into those times of life and to get the power that we need to carry on. You know, when I'm attempting to merge onto 283 in my four-cylinder Honda Accord, usually late in the evening, I have a couple of late evening meetings here, and I'll get on the road maybe about 9:30, and I'm headed back toward Mechanicsburg, not that far away. But I'm in my four-cylinder Honda Accord, and I'm going up on 283, and I'm just praying, Lord, give me some more power. And I'm pushing the accelerator down, and I'm praying a prayer like this, Lord, give me power like Debbie's car has. She has a turbo four-cylinder, you know. I just have the regular four-cylinder. And sometimes, you know, people are accommodating to me. Sometimes they're not. You know, merging is all about what? Getting up to speed and then either gradually coming in behind or going before the person. And so even just getting on and off of highways, sometimes life feels that way. Like we're trying to merge on and off of a different season of life, and maybe we just don't have the power that we need. And maybe you're feeling that way this morning. And I just want to preach a short message this morning on the power of prayer from Ephesians chapter 3. And I want to dovetail in some of the things that we learned this week at Vacation Bible School, because when I was there each night, I was just like picking up more and more stuff. And as I'm writing out my notes, I'm like, wow, God just kind of integrating this whole week. So some things are going to come up from VBS that you're going to learn about. And our topic for VBS was celebrating the good news. So the big idea for this morning is this. And if you guys can pull that up there. Yeah, this is the big idea this morning. The good news is that when we kneel before the Father and we surrender to the Son, we experience the power of His love, okay? So let's say this out loud together. The good news is that when we kneel before the Father and we surrender to the Son, we experience the power of His love. So earlier, Marshall read for us Ephesians 3, and he read that power, or that prayer for power that came from Paul. And we know in Ephesus, there was a lot of power. External power showed in Ephesus. Ephesus was a place that housed the Bank of Asia, was in Ephesus. It was a coastal city. It was a cosmopolitan city. And it was also a city of worship. In the same place where the huge Bank of Asia was also a temple of worship to the goddess Artemis there. And so it was a place of great power and prestige. And so Paul is writing this letter to some people who may feel kind of powerless in their faith because they see this great power around them and they might not feel God's power residing in them. And he gives them the first part of this prayer. He says, I'm praying for you, and my prayer for you is that as I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. So Paul is telling us that the first way to tap into God's power is to acknowledge God as our creator, as our maker, as the Father of all.
That when we need power, we need to come and just kneel before the Father and acknowledge that He's our maker and our creator, and that He has all the power that we need, especially when we feel powerless to deal with maybe something that's challenging us or a new season in life. And so he says he kneels before the Father, and that God has the power because God had the power to create us. He made us. He wove us together in our mother's womb. Psalm 139 says that we're both fearfully and wonderfully made. We're handcrafted by God. So I want you just to turn to somebody next to you and just say to them, you're handcrafted by God, and so am I. I want you to say that. When we kneel before the Father, it's our first step in receiving His power. We're saying, like it says in the scripture, it is God who made us. We did not make ourselves. We're handcrafted by the Father in an intricate way, and He has the power that we need to take on the challenges in life. And so I want us just, and some of you can do this, some of you can't, but I want any of you who can to do this. I want you just to kneel down this morning. You might need to move to an aisle. Just kneel down like this. And I just want us to say out loud together, for this reason, I kneel before the Father. Let's say it out loud together. For this reason, I kneel before the Father. Now, maybe in your heart, just lift up a few prayers of, Lord, I need your power for. And tell him what it is that you need his power for. Just whisper them to him as you're on your knees this morning. Lord, hear our prayers. As we come to you on Father's Day, we kneel before the Father saying, we need your power for living. You are our life giver, our sustainer. Give us the power that we need to navigate this next season of our life, these challenges that we have. We kneel before you. We receive the power from you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can get back up off your knees now. So there's one other reason that Paul would have knelt before a father. In Jewish tradition, Jewish people would kneel before the father, the patriarch of the family, and receive a blessing from the father. So this morning, as we go throughout this message and go throughout the rest of this day, I want you to be thinking, is there some blessing that I need to receive today from Father God? Is there some blessing that I need? That if I received that blessing today, if I was just open to that blessing today, if I was open to Him today, I would sense His power coming in me, on me, and through me today. Because there's challenges that I have that I need His power for. I want you just to think about that as you move throughout your day, of God putting His hand on you, blessing you, speaking a blessing over you, giving a future to you, infusing you with His Spirit today as a good Father. Because the good news is that when we kneel before the Father and surrender to the Son, we experience the power of His love. Let's say that out loud again together. Can you guys pull that slide up? Let's say it out loud together. The good news is that when we kneel before the Father and we surrender to the Son, we experience the power of His love. The VBS memory verse this week also helps us remember about this goodness of God, and it's from Acts 2:28, and I want us all to say this out loud together, this memory verse, starting with, you always show me the path that leads to life. Let's say this out loud together. You always show me the path that leads to life, and you will fill me with joy when I am with you. One more time. You always show me the path that leads to life, and you fill me with joy when I am with you. The goodness of the Father. So Paul says in this prayer for power, the first thing that we have to do is kneel before the Father and confess Him as our creator and maker. But the next thing is to receive this blessing from Him. He's just not a distant father who made us and left us alone, but he gives a blessing to us, and he comes to us where we are. So the second part of the prayer is that power comes when we surrender to the Son. Not just when we kneel to the Father, but when we surrender to the Son. And Paul writes these words in Ephesians 3, 16 and 17. He says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, that he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So this first step is to kneel. The second step is to surrender to the Son. So what does it look like to have Christ come in and dwell in our hearts through faith? What does it look like? Well, I wanted to recap the story that I heard at Vacation Bible School this week because you weren't there. Many of you missed Vacation Bible School this week. I noticed that. And so I want to recap a Bible story for you that explains what it looks like not only to be found by God, but to surrender to God. And it's found in Luke chapter 15. In Luke chapter 15, and when Jesus wants to explain what the kingdom looks like and what people who come into the kingdom looks like, he often uses stories. In Luke 15, he used three stories in a row. He kind of compiled them right in a row. He told the story of a lost sheep. He told the story of a lost coin. And he told the story of a lost son. And in each one of these stories, something of great value to the owner was lost. In the first one, it was a shepherd, and shepherd value what? Their sheep. That's their livelihood. And so when you have a lost sheep, you want to go out and find it and look for it. And the second one was a widow, and the widow had lost one coin. One of those coins could have fed her for almost over a month and taking care of her needs for a month. And so it was very important for her to find that coin. And so it says that she sweeps the house. This all-out search goes on for the sheep. And this all-out search goes on that the shepherd leaves the other sheep, goes after the one sheep, finds this one sheep, picks it up, puts it on his shoulders, brings it back home. When the widow had lost this one coin, she sweeps the whole house. She doesn't say, well, I've got plenty over here. She sweeps that whole house. She looks for it. When she finds it, she celebrates this coin that she has found. And when the son is lost, something of great value is lost to the owner. And then this loss should have warranted an all-out search. But we don't see that all-out search, do we? But then we do see the party that breaks out at the end of this. Jesus is making a point here. And the point is this, you don't see the all-out search in the story for the lost son because that's what Jesus is doing. He's the good older brother in the story who is on the all-out search for every child of God that is lost. And he finds them and he brings them back to the Father. And when he does, a party erupts. A party erupts. So Jesus says, you guys, you Pharisees, have not been looking for the lost sheep, and I've come, and I'm looking for them, and I'm finding them, and I'm celebrating them, because that which was lost was found. It's of great value to the Father, so much value to the Father, that when the Father sees the lost children that are returning to him, he gets up from his porch swing. He girds up his robe around him, and he sprints out to where they are, and he throws his arm around him. The sheep was of great value to the shepherd. The coin was of great value to this widow, and the son was of great value to the father. And when they came back, a party broke out. I want to just recap the story of the lost son. We know that the lost son asked for his inheritance early. Right? Should have never done that, and that was not appropriate, but he does that. He moves off then to another country. Not only does he ask for his inheritance earlier, he doesn't hang out with his family. He leaves them totally. A party does break out there, and he wastes all his money on wild living. While he's out there, he decides this, hey, I got to get a job. So he gets a job, and his job is feeding pigs. If there's any job that's not good for a Jewish young man, it's feeding pigs, right? So Jesus is even compounding how bad life has gotten for him. As he's feeding the pigs, he realizes he has nothing else to eat. So he's eating what the pigs eat. And all of a sudden, it hits him. Man, the servants in my dad's household, they live better than this. They're taken care of so better than this. I will get up from where I am. I will go back to my father. I will apologize to him. But I won't expect to be reinstated as a son, because I've spent my inheritance. I've squandered it out here. But if he would just make me a servant in his household, that would be good enough to me. And so he gets up and he turns from where he is. He turns from his squandering ways. He's going to go and apologize. And as he does, his father runs to him and embraces him. His father reinstates him. We know that. He not only throws a party and a banquet for him, he says, bring out his royal robe as a son and bring out the signet ring that marks him. And so he says to his son, you're not just my servant. You're my full son. You're in the family. He embraces him, and a party breaks out. Rejoice with me, I found my lost sheep, and a party breaks out. Rejoice with me, I found my lost coin, and a party breaks out. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead, and he's alive again. He was lost, and he is found. A party breaks out. Now, you guys got to help me. We learned this week at VBS. I'm going to teach everybody this. When I blow this little kazoo or horn or whistle or whatever, you just say, Jesus loves thee. Okay? On three. You ready? You guys ready? Woo! You guys are doing good. Let's do that one more time, because we had three parties that broke out here. Okay, so we've got to do this three times. That was one. Here's the second one. Okay, we got one more, You got to really let this one out, because this is there's a difference between a sheep and a coin and a child, right? When you hear those words, a sheep, a coin, and a child being brought back in. So that's really good. You guys ready? You guys are awesome. And the party broke out. The good news is this: when we kneel before the Father, we have this power in prayer. When we kneel before the Father and we say, you are the Father of all, but you are my Father, and I need a blessing from you. When we surrender to the Son and we take back that signet ring through Jesus Christ our Lord, and he puts that robe on us and he says, you're not just God's servant, you're his son, you're his daughter. You're one back, you're in the family, you're totally in. When we do that, we experience the power of his love. We experience the power of his love. A number of years ago, I was crafting a series on the story of the prodigal. And so I was looking around for different pieces of artwork for it and things like that, and got online and was Googling, and I stumbled across a piece of artwork that caught my eye. And it's by a British artist named Charlie Mackesy. So I wanted to be able to use the piece of artwork in the series. And so I emailed him. I didn't know if I'd hear back from him or not, but I found his email address and I emailed him, and he emailed me right back. And he gave me permission to use his piece of artwork. At the time, at the church I was at, we would do posters and all kinds of things and slides and pieces of art that went along with a series. And so I was just you know, elated that he would let me do that. Didn't charge me any money. And he said, just send me back any way you use it. And I found out by just talking to him through email for a few minutes that he had created all this artwork for a course called the Alpha Course, that was offered through the church in Brompton, England. And that he had done this so that different people, when they would come to Christ, they would write like a note on the back of it and give it to him. And it was a way of them celebrating coming to Christ by getting this piece of artwork. He'd also done a sculpture that had been given to the church and put in the town, where the sculpture has the Father embracing the Son. And as I was looking at it, I noticed that there were a couple of words on it that maybe were a little bit hard to read. You can see them there in script in the back. And what it is, it's kind of his paraphrase of what happened here. And it's a little bit hard to read, so I'm going to read it to you. And one of them is a prodigal son, and one's a prodigal daughter that he has. So you can fit son or daughter in here, but this is what it says. This is a story of the prodigal. It really should be called the running father, who waited every day for his child to come home. The child that had rejected him so badly, but when he saw them from a distance, he ran to them, and he hugged them, and he kissed them. This is the story of the prodigal son. It really should be called the running father, who waited every day for his son to come home, the son who had rejected him so badly. But when he saw him from a long way off, he ran to him and he hugged him and he kissed him. This is the story of the prodigal daughter. It really should be called the running father, who waited every day for his daughter to come home, the daughter who had rejected him so badly. But when he saw her from a long way off, he ran to her and he hugged her and he kissed her. The good news is that when we kneel before the Father and we surrender like a prodigal to the Son, we are immersed in the power of God's love. Amen? Amen? Maybe this morning you have been someone who's like, man, I need some power. I'm trying to get in this on-ramp to this part of life, and I'm stamping it the whole way down to the floor, and I just don't think I have what it takes to navigate this. And you need to say to the Father, this morning, Father, I kneel before you and I receive your blessing. And you need to say to the Son, I surrender my life to you. Without the power that you have for me through what you did on the cross for me, I can't navigate this part of my life, and I desperately need you. Ephesians 3:17 through 19 says these words, and I pray that you will be rooted and established in love. May you have power together with all of the Lord's holy people to grasp how high and long and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that love that surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled with all the measure of the fullness of God. Paul is saying here, when we kneel, when we surrender, we receive the power that we need because we're immersed in God's love. The power that we need is known through knowing the unconditional love of God in our life every day. The reason that we get up every morning and that we read our Bible and that we pray and that we do spiritual disciplines and that we take time for quietness in our day before we put our head on our pillow. Maybe you're someone who reads at night and reflects at night and prays at night. The reason that we do that is so that we can be immersed once again and know it, that we're being immersed in the unconditional love of God. The unconditional love of God is what gives us the power to navigate the rest of life. Amen? It's knowing. Knowing the Father is blessing us. The Son has redeemed us and the Spirit is filling us. That unconditional love of God is the power that we need to navigate life. And we can't navigate life well without Him, can we? Amen? And so this morning, I want to give you the opportunity to do what we gave the kids opportunity to do throughout the week, and that's to pray a prayer of salvation before Jesus Christ, to surrender to Him and to give your life to Him. I'll read it, and then I'll give us just a moment to bow our heads and pray it. The prayer goes like this: God, I need to experience the power of your love today. Father, I kneel before you today as the creator of all things and as the maker of my soul. I thank you for sending Jesus to seek me and to find me when I was lost. I surrender my life to you, Jesus, and I thank you for what you did for me on the cross. Please forgive my sin and lead my life. I long to experience the power of your love and then give it away to others. Amen. Let's just bow our heads and close our eyes. Maybe you want to just reflect this prayer, repeat this prayer back as I pray it this morning, this prayer for power today. God, I need to experience the power of your love today. Father, I kneel before you today as the creator of all things and the maker of my soul. I thank you for sending Jesus to seek me and to find me when I was lost. I surrender my life to you, Jesus. I thank you for what you did for me on the cross. Please forgive my sin and lead my life. I long to experience the power of your love and then give it away to others. Amen and amen. Now let's just read this out loud together. Can you guys pull that prayer back up there? Starting with God. God, I need to experience the power of your love today. Father, I kneel before you today as the creator of all things and the maker of my soul. I thank you for sending Jesus to seek me and find me when I was lost. I surrender my life to you, Jesus, and I thank you for what you did for me on the cross. Please forgive my sin and lead my life. I long to experience the power of your love and then give it away to others. Amen.